The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2-6. Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike
Missinelli. Oh, good afternoon, everybody. I just love that chill groove for Friday. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's not going to be a chill Friday, Doug. We have a lot of things to talk about. And not only that, but it's the first time ever that it's a general knowledge Friday. First time ever also that Brian Westbrook will participate in General Knowledge Wednesday. So let's get on with it here as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. You know, the Flyers are one of these, they're one of these modes where you go, holy crap, this team is like impenetrable. They watched that game yesterday. They just smothered the Caps. So that's like a few games in a row now where you're seeing a profile and a personality of this team. And the only thing that you have to worry about, and I don't know if it's a legit worry or not, the Flyer fans, you can determine this, because there's word going through the NHL that the teams that are playing for the seeding aren't really playing that hard. Now, the Flyers are playing hard, so I'm not going to fault them for playing hard. But if you're watching hockey, now I'm just going to tell you, I was privy to a conversation with somebody who was in a direct communication with one of the coaches in the top four of both conferences. And that coach was lamenting the fact that he couldn't get his team to play hard, and he says he's looking around the league and the quality of hockey for most of these teams that are playing in the top four has been crap, which is indicative of the fact that they don't care that much about the seeding games and that they're going to turn it on to playoffs. Now, I don't know how much that is true. You can decide for yourself. All I know is that I'm watching a team that is grinding it out every shift. And if the other teams don't want to participate in that, that's to their detriment. Because you can't look at this team and go, they're going to burn out. You know, they're not enough games for them to burn out. So if they're going to play at this level going into the playoffs, I don't think there's going to be any drop-off if the other team's going to pick up their level. This is a legitimately good team. And even with a backup goalie, what, did they give up 16 shots yesterday, that team? How many shots did Washington
17,
get?
17, 16
17 shots. I mean, think about just them getting 17 shots. That means that other team's smothering you. And from top to bottom, that's what they're doing. So this is a day to celebrate the Flyers and to be a little apprehensive about the Sixers, I guess. The only way I'm apprehensive about the Sixers, if Ben Simmons can't play in the playoffs. Now, I don't know what the circumstances are going to be. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to play him for the rest of these games. When we get into playoffs, if he's held out, then you know they got no chance. If he comes back, he's got to be 100%. We don't know that. It's a big uncertainty right now. So here's where the fan base is. They're not engaged with the Sixers right now. They don't think the Sixers are going to be able to get this done. No matter how many forces you want to throw in there. But this Ben Simmons thing is very problematic. Because you know without Ben Simmons, as much as you dislike him, the fact is they don't have an engine if they don't have Ben Simmons on the floor. And that's the end of that. So we're in a holding pattern for that. The Flyers, where it's full bore ahead. The Phillies, they split with the Yankees. Nice job last night as they survive the bullpen having to go five innings, which everybody, when you're watching that Phillies game, your heart was in your throat the whole time. Oh, my God, they're bringing this guy in. Oh, my God, they're bringing this guy in. The first guy succeeds is Tyrone, your favorite. The Olis Guerra succeeds yesterday.
Yeah, a bit surprising.
Gets a clean inning.
Yes.
And then your boy Pivetta comes in. And I listened to Girardi afterwards. because he doesn't want to not give credit to everybody. So he goes, hey, you know, so Nick, you know, he got through it. Nick gave up a two-run homer that put them back in the game. Come on.
Right.
Come on, Joe. You know, I don't care if he got the other outs. He gave up a two-run homer. And then Alvarez did a nice job, and he finally got Neris. And here was the whole game revolved around one pitch. And it was when he brought up Aaron Judge in a pinch hitting role. And Aaron Judge got a first pitch fastball right down the middle, and he took it. I guess he was expected to split.
Yep.
So he took a fastball, and that was a pitch that he could have hit 500 feet. And from that moment on, they had him, because then he got him 0-2.
Yeah, I was JT, who was the best player, Ramuto, yep, calling that first pitch fastball, kind of knowing. And apparently, Ricky Pitalico said in the postgame show, they've noticed that on film. Guys are looking for the split, and they're taking these fastballs.
Oh, and that's good scouting. That's good scouting. And if I'm Judge, you know, I don't know what he's thinking there. He's only going to get one pitch to hit, and if that pitch was right there, you know, that's his bad. But they got out of it, and the Phillies just a split. They go 2-2. Now, yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about with the Phillies as far as guys that aren't performing, and it's getting worse and worse for a couple of guys on the right side of the infield.
Ralph, since you brought it up, part of the reason Eflin pitched better than I expected, because I thought he was going to get shelled.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been able to go longer in that inning if not for that Jetpack's error.
Yeah.
So he throws 20-some pitches in that inning after that. It's not all Jetpack's fault. Errors happen, but that's one that he needs to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you couple that with him now batting under 100 and another 0-for-4. I'm worried about Jetpack's at second base.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, it's funny. I'm watching the game yesterday. I said something in my head right before Ben Davis said the same thing, because I'm watching him hit. And I go, man, he's jumping at the ball. In other words, he's not letting the ball get to him. And Ben Davis said the same thing, like right after he swung it and then chopped two foul balls. He's anxious. He's over anxious, and he's trying to jump at the ball instead of letting it get deeper and waiting a half a count more. He's trying to go out with the bat and catch the ball instead of letting the ball come in where he can handle it. But that's fixable, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a patience thing. So, I mean, I don't know, but he's going to fix it. But that's what I see in him. So, we'll talk about it. Now, General Knowledge Wednesday today is a pretty cool prize. Every caller that gets a correct question today gets a $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. Now, that's amazing. All you have to do is get one right. Now, I don't know if that might means I should make them harder or what. I guess I should make them a little harder. Because if you get one right, you're going to earn a $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard, a great place. We had some food prior to the show from Jasper's Backyard. I was there last week for dinner. You go to jaspersbackyard.com, and you can order takeout or delivery. Or you can dine, because they have a beautiful outdoor patio for dining. So you can reserve a table at jaspersbackyard.com. So, it's presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. One of the other things I'm going to do today, in addition to the conversation, I want to solicit, since the Flyers, I think, finally have it together as far as picking personnel, I want to go back in time. I got this email from a guy who listed a bunch of obscure Flyers. I want to go with the obscure Flyer bust out name. Now, I'm going to be the commissioner here.
Yes.
So if you bring out a Flyer bust out name, I'll either go, no, that guy's too famous, or that guy's not famous enough. You got to be like Goldilocks. You got to find the happy medium of a guy who was not famous, but not a bum.
Oh, this is gold.
Right? Like you know, the name that you go, I remember that guy, but he wasn't really any good.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So we'll do that, because I know we'll hear a lot of interesting names here. 610-632-0975. That is how you get in. The general knowledge categories for today: general knowledge, NBA top 10 league leaders of the decade, first line of songs, and now I'm going to educate you, Shakespeare quotes. Now, I assure you won't have to know anything about Shakespeare. These are quotes and sayings that you have heard and maybe not even connected to Shakespeare. So these are well-known phrases.
Okay. And you have to say what play they're from?
No, you have to just fill in the blank.
Oh, fill in the blank. Okay.
Fill in the blank of a Shakespeare quote.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah,
we all set?
Yeah.
All right. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. A fun Friday here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by the great people at Corbelli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. Well, the Flyers just look relentless right now, and we like what we see. And let's see if the people who are close to the scene like what they see as well. Flyers reporter for NBC Sports Philly joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Taryn Hatcher. Hello, Taryn.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Now, Taryn, you're looking at this like all of us are, and you're obviously close to this whole situation. So what do they look like to you?
I mean, they look like they haven't skipped a beat, honestly. They look even deeper. I mean, they were deep before the pause. There was very much this vibe of like, you know, who's going to score tonight? Put names in a hat, pick one out, and they're just as likely as anybody else to score because this team has really found chemistry kind of line one to line four, even though I know AV doesn't like to number his lines, and defensively as well. And it seems like they came back and guys really did the work during the pause. They really did the work in phase two during the sort of the skates that had some tighter restrictions. And then, you know, through phase three, it seems like they really ramped it up and they carried it over. And I know I said this last night, but if you ask any of these guys, it's a huge testament to Alain Vigneault and his preparation and his ability to delegate and lean on the sports science staff and his assistant coaches. And you know, there's a reason why he's Jack Adams' front runner. He's got these guys ready to go, ready to play in a seemingly impossible circumstance to do that. It's really amazing.
It really is amazing. I mean, that one question I had about him, you know, when the team's hot and then they get broken up for a little while and time passes, very rarely will you come back at the same level. Well, now they've done that. They've upped the level, it almost seems like. So I guess this is listen, there's one thing about preparation, one thing about the mechanisms of a coach, but you got to have that mentality yourself as a player. This looks like the perfect blend of players.
Yeah, it really does. And it's, you know, we were talking about it last night, and it's a team that has the right kind of variation of guys. You have the seasoned vets that for so long were kind of relied upon. As they went is how the team goes. As Sean Couturier or Claude Giroux or Jake Voracek, if they didn't play at their highest, the team didn't play at their highest. Now it's not like that. And you have a nice, you have a guy like Kevin Hayes who bridges the gap between, you know, James Van Riems, like a Claude Giroux, and let's say somebody like a Scott Laughton, who's a little bit younger, who's bounced up from the bottom six to the top six and vice versa. And you've got guys like, you know, Michael Roffel and Scott, who in the dressing room are just great personalities. And then you have these young defensemen that were really called up young and have gotten some great coaching from Mike Yeo and are jumping into the offense and seem confident and ready to go. You know, it really is when you look at it, and it's so funny because we talked about it last time on the broadcast and Alain Vigneault pointed it out to us. This is not a team that relies on star power. It's not a team that has anybody in the top 30 in scoring. Kevin Hayes, Travis Konecny, the only two players in the top 50 in terms of goals in the league, and they're right at 45 and 50. Travis Konecny's 45, Kevin Hayes is 50. They're a team that relies on chemistry, and they're a team that relies on work, and they're a team that relies on kind of finding that flow, gaining confidence, and then really just kind of just hitting the gas and not ever really touching the brake throughout a game. And they smother teams, and that's what we've seen. I mean, they smothered a very good Bruins team. That's hard to do. Now, Tampa's kind of had their number. You know, the Flyers played very well against the Bruins throughout the year. They played very well against the Caps throughout the year. They played well against Tampa, but they just haven't been able to get past them. So this is really a huge, I think, mental test for them now. Can they get over this hump? Because Tampa has just consistently been such a powerhouse of a team throughout this year.
I'm talking to Taryn Hatcher, covering the Flyers for NBC Sports Philly. Taryn, I can't say enough about Hayes. He's been such a glue. So you being close to the situation, give me a read on this guy.
Oh, Kevin Hayes is awesome. Kevin Hayes, this is one of our favorite things whenever I'm on the Flyers Talk podcast, we talk about it. I remember when he got here, and I just think a lot of people didn't really know a lot about him, but people were looking at his contract, and it was, what are we doing, and blah, blah, blah. And before, it's amazing because Philly is, you know, as a born and raised Philly sports fan, specifically kind of a Flyers first fan in my household growing up, Flyers is not an easy family to just come into. It's not. And he approached everything the right way. He did everything the right way. He's very respectful of, you know, the Claude Drews and the Jake Voracheks of this team that have been here for a long time. But he really came in and just established his presence as kind of, I don't know, just that locker room guy that you need. But I think when we would talk to Ian LaPerriere, who's very much this guy when he was on the Flyers and the team he was on, he goes, you know, you need that guy in the locker room that keeps it light and keeps everybody remembering, yeah, this is a game, and yeah, we have a huge fan base behind us. But at the end of the day, we're very fortunate to do what we do. And kind of keeps it light, and it keeps you from getting really bogged down in bad losing streaks and really just getting hard on yourself. And the Flyers, for the past few years, had struggled with that, really getting themselves behind the eight ball. And you don't see it this year. A guy like Kevin Hayes is a guy who prevents a team from just kind of losing faith in themselves just by his optimism, I think. And then you go beyond that, and you become such a producer for this team. I mean, when you look at Charlie Sanheim's goal last night, Kevin Hayes was the maestro who orchestrated that whole goal. I mean, his ability to secure the puck, move with the puck, really, like, body people off of the puck, almost like if Kevin Hayes played basketball, I'd love to see how many rebounds he would get, because he's just, I mean, he knows how to get leverage with that big body of his, and he really did not get down on himself when he wasn't producing at the beginning of the year, and, you know, everybody on Twitter's got an opinion and whatever. He's a mentally tough guy who's really blossomed into such a great player for this team. And think about in that bubble where you've got no fans and it's so weird and eerie and quiet. You want that guy who talks nonstop, who keeps things light, who keeps the team going. I think he's been valuable beyond what people could have really imagined.
Yeah, he's been a big coup. I got to give Fletcher and you know, credit for reading that. But let me move on to, there's this notion out there now, Taryn, that, you know, the Flyers are playing well. There's this notion that the other teams that are in the top four in both these conferences are kind of jaking it and saving themselves and not playing at the same fervent level that the Flyers are playing. What's your feeling about that?
You know, I mean, who knows? You could say it's effort. You could say it's conditioning. You could say whatever. I don't know why you wouldn't want your team to play at a high level right now, even if, like, even if these games are you know, quote unquote, just for seeding. Having a better seed is certainly helpful. Also, you know, Alain Vigneault is out here experimenting and trying things and getting guys in and getting Joel Farabee in last night. He comes in. He looks really good last night, whatever. I don't know if other teams are dogging it. I know the Flyers certainly look fast and they look really, really well conditioned. And that's truthfully all I care about. So if another team wants to go out there and skate like they're carrying a piano, that's their call. You can go ahead and do that. I want to see my team play at full speed. I want to see these guys, especially a team like this one that relies on flow and relies on chemistry. You want to see them operate at full speed right now and see them get that back. And so to see them do that, I don't really care what anybody else is doing. I'll take a number one seed overall if we can get it. And other teams can, whatever, save their legs after having 4 months off. That's everybody's call. But, you know, I realistically speaking, I don't think any team wants to go out there and have the result against the Bruins that they had the Bruins had the other night against the Flyers. You know, the Flyers just looked fast. They were buzzing all over the place. I know the ice Alain Vigneault said the ice was rough and he wasn't super stoked with the play in the first period. But, you know, if you're a Boston fan, regardless of whether or not you think your guys are giving it 100%, you don't want to see that game like go down like that. So, I mean, all I care about is the Flyers look fast. They look incredibly well conditioned. Nobody's got hands on their knees after, you know, a shift. And if you're a Flyers fan, that's got to make you feel really great right now after someone like Sean Couturier was stuck running around Philadelphia and doing yoga because he couldn't get to ice for months and months at a time. You know, yeah. You have to feel pretty good right now about how they look.
Truthfully. All right, last question. I think I heard either Tim Saunders or Steve Coates say this yesterday, that this might be the last time we see Brian Elliott. And I guess he is alluding to the fact that from this point on, it's Carter Hart, Carter Hart, Carter Hart. And if we go to the playoffs, it's Carter Hart. Do you believe that's the way it's going to play out?
Well, I certainly think, and Alain Vigneault and everybody's been pretty transparent about this, and Brian Elliott's been such a good sport about it, is Carter Hart, is the future. You know, he is the guy, and they want to make him the guy, and they want him to be in these situations and be able to handle them. And, you know, the other night, Nate Thompson compared him to Carey Price, so, you know, that's always a very flattering comparison, and you'll take it. That being said, the thing that's been so valuable about Brian Elliott this season, and you hope that you don't have to see it in the playoffs, but, you know, it may come about, is that when Carter has kind of got in his own head, they've called upon Brian Elliott to come in and play a game so that Carter can kind of reset. And Carter's very mature and very good at doing it. And Brian Elliott has come in and been very good as well. So you might not see a ton of Brian Elliott going on through, but if Carter certainly needs a day, he's done very well bouncing back. I think the last time Carter Hart had back-to-back losses was like January 2nd and January 4th.
He may use Elliott in the playoffs?
I mean, I'm saying I think if he needs to, they're certainly comfortable with doing it.
Okay.
But they want Carter to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And we all know that they want Carter to be the guy. And the thing about Brian Elliott is he's a great sport about it, and he doesn't prepare any differently, even if that's the case.
Yeah.
So if you're a Flyers fan, again, it's another thing to feel good about. You've got a veteran who's good with taking the back seat, and you've got a young guy who has seemed to come into this, I guess, the qualifying, you know, postseason, whatever the terminology is now, seeming really prepared beyond his years. And either way, I mean, the way he looked in these games so far, you got to be impressed. And if you're Alain Vigneault, why would you sit a goaltender who's playing like that?
We shall see what happens. Taryn, great stuff. And just quickly, like, what's it been like to cover this remotely?
It's so weird, and it stinks because this team is so fun. These group of guys love each other, and they are so fun to be around, truthfully. They're such they're all buddies. And it is so fun to be in that dressing room because you'll ask one guy a question, another guy will pop over, he'll start talking about something else, and then you get some random story from just a side conversation that you ended up in the middle of. So it stinks. I wish I was there. But you know what? It seems like the NHL is doing this the right way, and I can turn on my TV pretty much any time of day, afternoon, and watch some hockey for hours and hours straight. If you don't like, I won't complain.
All right. Sounds good. I got you. Taryn, we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Mike.
There's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports affiliate, covering the Flyers.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 4:30. Let's get Twitter Pro update, and then we'll get to the calls. Play a little general knowledge Wednesday. And Natalie Eganoff, the Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. What do we have?
All right, Mike, over 700 votes on this one so far. Some NHL coaches are suggesting the round robin teams are not playing hard. Do you think that is a factor in the Flyers winning? 17% say yes, 83% say no.
All right, it's going up a percentage point.
Yes.
Flyer fans digging in. Anyway, every caller that gets a question correct today gets a $100 gift card to Jasser's Backyard in Conshohocken. And, of course, you can dine in their wonderful outdoor patio and enjoy one of their daily drink specials and live music Friday through Sunday. All right, Brian, we're going to go to the phones, which means we're going general knowledge. You're the lifeline for the people in case they stumble. All right?
Sounds good.
Let's go to Rick in Levittown, start things off. Rick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Rick?
Yeah, good segue. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Ben Simmons. It's last night I was watching highlights on YouTube, and it's you're right. He can get to the rim without any effort at all. It's unbelievable. But him not shooting is just holding back himself, his legacy, and the team. I mean, defenses know he's not going to be shooting. And like Brian said, if Embiid had a player like Devin Booker, that would complement him so well, and it would just open the things up for them.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. I want to make you general manager of Phoenix Suns.
Sixers
cost. No, I want to know. Are you going to give up Devin Booker?
No, they wouldn't. No, I wouldn't do it either.
All right,
I'm just saying. But if it's
impossible to happen, like we're beating ourselves over the head, what you got to go is, listen, when am I going to give up on this guy? Don't give up on him too soon. I know it's not going to happen even next year. So I got to wait until 2022 is when I get totally exhausted. I'm only three quarters of the way exhausted right now.
It's a sliding scale.
Sliding scale because the guy's breathtaking in other things. You know, it would be an easier decision for me if he didn't have that other side to him.
Well, that also means to me that you don't believe in the window. I mean, there's a window that you're having.
Yeah, two years. That's not even a window. That's like, that's a flash. That's like a camera flash. All right. You ready for a general knowledge question?
Rick? Yes, I am.
All right, Rick, here we are with first lines of songs. All right, here's the line. Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. I need to sing this to you? What, are you kidding me?
Today is the day they're gonna throw it back to you.
Today is gonna be the day that they... Come on.
You're out.
I'm going to put you on hold now. Brian can win this for you, Rick from Levittown. Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you.
No shot.
What's the name of the song?
Well, Nat, don't laugh because before we started this and over the commercial break, I was so confident that I was going to be a help to the audience that now that you say that.
Well, this is just one category. You might be better in other categories, but you got nothing on this?
Nothing.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. Come on, this is Oasis Wonderwall.
When you sung it, you made me feel worse about it. I was like, I definitely don't know it now.
I knew Brian was going to get that one.
Brian came up small. All right, let's go Craig in Drexel Hill. Craig, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Craig.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Craig?
Love the show. I don't mean to fanboy out at all, but this is so awesome that B. West is on the line. B. West, you're the man.
Thank you very much.
Can you imagine how we all feel?
No,
to be fortunate to have him every week?
Yeah.
We almost wet ourselves here every Friday.
I've been on that for over an hour and a half. I didn't think I would have a chance to talk to him.
I gotcha.
I have a couple Flyer names for you, and then I have actually my question is about football, ironically. My Flyer names are the first one. When I was a kid, I used to collect stickers. I used to get the hockey sticker books.
Yes.
And I would seemingly always get a Doug Crossman sticker in every pack I'd buy.
That's a pretty good one. Very, very good obscure Flyer. Not bad.
Yeah. And the other name.
Pretty solid, though, for a couple years, Crossman.
Okay. I don't really remember.
Yeah, but he was a pretty solid Flyer for a couple years.
The other name that I always think of with obscure Flyers is Kent Manderville.
That's a pretty good one. Kent Manderville is not bad. I like it.
My football question is, you know, the opt-out deadline was yesterday. I'm very skeptical about this season happening. It might start, but I don't see it finishing because of the virus. But what happens if players want to opt out now?
Well, they'll get paid. They don't get their stipend. See, if you opted out, you get $150,000. And if you opted out for legit reasons, medical reasons, you get $250,000. So if you opt out now, you're just a contract. You don't get paid on it.
Do you guys think that players are going to, if it gets bad, players are going to say, nah, I'm out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. You think so, Brian?
Yeah, I think players will say at any point that they'll opt out. And I also think that they would argue that they should get paid, too, because, they're putting themselves at risk. And I was talking to a couple guys yesterday, and just tell me what your thoughts on this. This is what they told to me. They said, listen, we had to sign a waiver so that now we're putting ourselves at risk. And because we're putting ourselves at risk and we get the virus, we contract the virus, at that point, they won't pay us at all. So to me, I mean, it seems a little bad as far as the NFL, the owners that have so much money to say, you know what, we're willing to, we want you to come entertain us. We want you to go out there and make us money. And we want you to be put in a situation where you can contract the virus. But if you do catch it, we're not going to pay you anything except for what you've already been paid thus far to that point in the season. Mm-hmm. That just looks bad to me. And I would have to think long and hard about opting into this whole deal if I was a player in the NFL at this point.
I got you. Craig, are you ready for a general knowledge question?
I'm ready.
$100 gift card now. Correct answer. Get you a quick 100. All right, here we go. Shakespearean quotes.
Oh, boy.
All right, here's the quote. Something is blank in the state of Denmark.
Something is blank in the state of Denmark.
Yes. Something is blank in the state of Denmark. Very famous quote. It's from the play Hamlet.
I think I can help you with this.
Oh, you got it.
Something is rotten.
That's correct. All right. Yeah. He saved you, Craig. There it is. That's from Hamlet, the melancholy Dane. I actually can relate to Hamlet.
That's my high school.
I'm a kind of a Hamlet personality.
Yes.
Yeah, melancholy, overthinking stuff.
I can see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good God. It's semi-depressive. You know. All right, let's go to Rob in Seattle. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Mike, oh my gosh, hockey. Flyers hockey is back. I'm in heaven, baby. But look, I want to shout out at the young D. It says a lot, you know, that Gossett Bear can't get in because, you know, the young guys, Favre, Sanheim, and Myers are playing so good. You know, and then you're throwing that veteran Nick Sabron and Niskanen, and those guys really look sharp. You see the mitts on Sanheim the other night? Oh, my gosh. So is Ghost going to get traded? That's going to be the next question, I'm wondering.
Yes. I predict he will be moved in the offseason.
Yeah, I'm thinking so, too. But here's a couple
remember when he first came up, like how people put him on there. Oh, look at this. He's like one of the top three young dudes we have, right?
Mike, Bobby Orr.
Yeah, yes.
Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike, I was one of those. I called you and said, I hope they don't send him down. But, yes, you know, I'm one of those guys. But, anyway, North Philly guy. Here's a couple of old school names. Jack McElarkey, Tom Goodenough. Larry Goodenough.
Larry Goodenough.
And buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, brother. You want a general knowledge question?
He's in Seattle. But my brother's one of Philly's finest. Can I send it to him?
Tyrone's giving you the Ziggy. Tyrone Lannister gave you the Ziggy.
Oh, wait a minute. Tyrone. But I want to shout out to Tyrone. Tyrone. Look, if you come to the Northwest, be careful, man, because I moved here 20 years ago from Philly and haven't turned back. But
can he stay with you for a little while until he figures it out?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure, can Ty come with the wife? Can he hang with you for like a month or two?
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. All right, brother. Thanks, man. We appreciate the call. All right. There you go. You got a little way station.
Even though you wouldn't let him have a question.
Well, it wasn't that. It's that it's actually we're not really allowed to do that.
I know.
What, to give a question to a guy out of town?
We're allowed to do that. Technically, he would
we
have
can't
to
win.
Get it. We can't really give
it. Oh, we can't do it by proxy.
Right. Yeah. We would get in trouble. So I'm just trying to be a stickler for the actual rule.
That's why we need you.
We need you, stickler.
You're the stickler.
Every moment get a prize if it were up to me.
We could have very easily given this guy a question.
I got to trust Ty's. He's the guillotine man.
You're not legally.
I got to trust him to drop the guillotine on
because
the
then you start the hookups run amok.
There you go.
And then the feds start looking at you.
That's right.
And I don't want the feds near this place.
That's right.
Okay, Joe Banner. He's trying to Joe Banner us right now.
Feds.
Can't fight the feds. Dave in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
What's up, gang?
What's going on, Dave?
I do not need $100 because, Brian, Sunday night I'm cashing in 11 grand. I have Tiger Eldrick Woods, 50 to win on him at 22 to 1. He misses half the fairways yesterday. He's only 3 strokes out, Brian. He tees off at 5 o'clock, my brother. I know you're right in front of the TV.
He's 6 back right now, Holmes. The leader's minus 8 right now.
Oh, that's one.
He hasn't played yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Hey, Brian. There's a running back that patterns himself after you. He's 33 right now. I'm wondering if you reached out to him. I've been reading up on him. Ray Rice has just been blackballed from the league. Have you reached out to him? Any thoughts on him?
I haven't talked to Ray. You know, I know Ray pretty decently. I have not spoken to him in quite some time, though. So, no, I have not.
Well, you're thinking he could come back?
No, I'm just perplexed that, you know, his wife is stuck by him after he beat the stuffing out of her.
I mean, listen, I can't, like, get involved in their personal situation and how they repaired it, but maybe he's thought that football was a kind of a poison and that he's gone in another direction with his life.
Yeah. Brian, are you going to watch Tiger today or no?
I am going to watch Tiger. And I certainly will pay a little bit more attention to him this weekend, as long as he makes the cut, which I think he will. Yeah.
Dave, good luck. Good luck to you on that back.
Hey, Mikey, if Minnesota, the Valley Country Club, he would have shot an 86 yesterday.
I'm glad you made that bet. So good luck.
Yeah, can I have a question, actually?
You want a question? You're not going to give me a colleges today?
Oh, you want a question?
No, it's all right. No, it's okay. We'll save it for another day. Okay. It's time for you. This is the NBA Top 10.
Yes.
Okay. All right. For the decade, the NBA Top 10 of the decade, 2010 to now.
Yes, sir.
Give me one of the top 3 leaders in total blocked shots.
Oh my God, I know this.
I'm gonna tell you,
Brian,
you can rescue him. Total block shots in the decade. Who you got?
Just one guy?
One guy in the top 3.
What's the guys up in the Raptors? Their center, Serge Ibaka.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe it. Westbrook with 2 lifelines.
Serge plays great defense. I mean, that's why he's still part of that championship's quality squad, and that's why that team still is hard to beat.
That's a good pull by you, man. Yeah. Serge Ibaka, number 1. Tyrone, you got 2 and 3.
Is Gobert in there?
Nope.
What about, he's not one of the best in the decade, but I know the kid up in Brooklyn blocks a lot of shots. He's young, so he's not. But the other guy, DeAndre Jordan.
That's number 2. Westbrook on a roll. DeAndre Jordan is number 2. Who's number 3? Longtime NBA center. Kind of a kook.
JaVale McGee?
No.
Dwight Howard
is correct.
Dwight Howard
is 3. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Home stretch of Brian Westbrook. He's here till 5. Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:30 on the Mike Misnelli Show on a Friday. Looks like the rain is coming our way. Apparently rain in the south area here.
Oh.
It's raining right now in Avondale.
Oh.
Thunderstorms.
I don't know where that is.
Avondale is getting towards south, towards Maryland area.
Oh, it's far.
Delaware. Okay. Down in that area. So it's coming up.
All right.
So 90% chance of rain at 6 o'clock here. All right. Anyway, it's time to get a final numbers on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and his sons. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, check out Paul B. Moyer and Sons because they have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Now, what do the final numbers say?
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one today. Some NHL coaches are suggesting the round robin teams are not playing hard. Do you think that is a factor in the Flyers winning? 17% say yes, 83% say no.
All righty. Let's get as many calls as we can in today. We have sound off today. We are going overtime today, by the way. We are extending beyond 6 o'clock today.
Yes.
That's right, because we're leading you in to a Sixers pregame show.
Yes, on the radio side.
On the radio side.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll be on the radio. So TV will get off at our regular time.
Yep.
And we'll extend radio. So we'll have some calls, actually, that we could take in the first 15 minutes of the 6 o'clock hour.
Right, so that's chance to win a $100 gift card from Jasper's Backyard at Conshohocken after Salvo.
There you go. So it's not ending this hour. Giving you overtime. All right, let's go Jeremy in Philadelphia. Jeremy, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jeremy.
Yeah, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Jeremy? How you doing?
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on JVR right now, because he's kind of on the bubble as a $7 million a year player. I mean, salary aside, he's a good player. He's a solid veteran. I'm just wondering whether you think that he should be on the outs and whether bringing someone like a Connor Bunneman up and playing him over JVR is worth it, or whether you're better off having him. And if he's not playing because naturally he would fit into that third line spot, and they're just buzzing up and down.
No, I don't think it is worth it to play a guy like Connor Bunner. I think this is a message benching. I think Vigneault knows he needs JVR to play both ends, and he hasn't been. So he's trying to send a message, and he would rather go to war with that type of player who's been in the league for a while rather than risk another younger player. So I think this is a message to rehabilitate JVR. We'll see if it works.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah. Actually, I have an obscure flyer for you, too.
Oh, okay, guys.
What about Lou Angotti?
Oh, that's way back in the day, man. He was a captain. He was the first captain. He can't be obscure. The first captain. 1967 captain, Lou Angotti. Jeremy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, we got a bad phone on Jeremy. He's too fuzzy. He can't go Lou Angotti, man. He was the first Flyer captain.
He can't go back that far. He looked that up in an almanac.
He probably did. It sounded like a funny name. Yeah. But he was like with their expansion team. He was their captain. They first came into the league. I know my Flyer history. If we have Flyer fans, they're going, what? Lou Angotti.
Yeah, there was people still on social media, still mad. Of course. You don't talk about the Flyers, they're mad.
Yeah.
We do talk about the Flyers because we're cup crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think we're being sarcastic when we're really not. This team has a real shot.
Listen, man, whatever. Whatever your insecurities are, I got it. You know?
We're just here to support the team.
Yeah, we do our
crazy
job. Here you go. Here's a couple obscure Flyers. Carl Dykhouse.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Dan McGillis.
Great. Great.
He had the big shot, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? He had the big slap shot.
Yeah.
And Peter Svoboda.
Great one. Said that to Ty earlier. Did you? There. Yeah.
You had Peter Svoboda?
Svoboda.
I have a funny Peter Svoboda story.
Let's hear it.
Well, I don't know.
Can't.
No, he was in the locker room. They actually took a video of this. It was hysterical. Do you remember Phil Andrews, who was Channel 6? All right. So Phil Andrews was showing him a Playboy magazine that had a photo, a black and white photo spread of former German champion figure skater Katharina Witt.
Okay.
Oh. And Svoboda was fawning over the photo shoot.
Oh my goodness.
I can't say what he said.
But he said something that was
funny.
But
he said it with an accent. Like,
right.
He had that, what was he? He was Czechoslovakian, I guess.
I believe, or...
Yeah. Yeah. And he had that funny accent. It came out, like, real funny what he said.
Well, to tell.
Anyway, it's an inside story, and I'm sorry I brought it up because it means nothing to the people out there now. Let's go to Shane in the we're at Northeast. Shane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shane.
Hey, Mike, love the show.
What's up, Shane?
Love your team and Tyron and Natalie back there.
Thanks, buddy.
Just, two comments on the Flyers. And even before that, I had Dan McGillis lined up for you.
Did you?
Stopped it right before the call, yeah.
Dan McGillis. Who did they get him from? Edmonton?
I don't know, but
I forget who they got him.
Yeah, as a kid, I remember he gave me a puck over the boards way back, and I think I always remember if he was paired with Therrien or not, but he was always one of my dad's favorites for I don't even know why, but always a solid guy back there.
He was solid.
Quick 2 points. I love the three-headed monster up front. I love the Giroux, Couturier, Voracek line. I think maybe in the past they always wanted to break up centers and things like that. But I think that's just the direction of the NHL right now. I mean, you see Toronto doing it with their big star power. The Capitals have done it for years.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that move of just really solidifying Claude up there with your two other stars on one line and just kind of front.
Well, that's working out for him. This guy's pushing all the buttons. He's got the lines all in sync.
Yeah, and then next point. I know we've been talking about PK for a year or two now. He's a scorer, but I'm really hoping he develops into that like pure shooter that we've been missing for decades. I don't know if he'll go that way, but I think just solid.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite guy. I love the way he plays.
So much upside.
He's
so
a talent sniper, but he's kind of like nasty.
Yeah,
he's it's funny because he's a nasty guy without the size to be nasty, which endears him to me.
And even on the topic of this young stud, Provorov. I mean, I forget what his contract is, but I mean, I want him for his entire career already.
I think they've already. They already realized that, I think.
Yeah. So the other obscure Flyers I had, one guy, I think probably right after McGillis was Mike Rathje.
Mike Rathje.
Didn't do much, but.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. That's a pretty good call, bro.
I mean, I think he's probably like Hatcher or something, just two huge guys back then.
Yep. Mike Rathje.
Two other guys. One's a star, and one was definitely a Philadelphia favorite at the time, but Sammy Kapanen, and then one guy. I wasn't here too long, but one of my favorite players, Tony Amonte. He's a star power.
Tony Amonte. Yep. Both of them are pretty good. All right, brother, here's your general knowledge question, but it's basketball.
All right.
So this is the top 10 league leaders of the 2010s. So let's go with total points. Give me three of the top five total point leading scorers in this decade.
LeBron James.
That's one of them.
Yeah, I don't know when Steph turned it on, but I might go Steph.
He's just outside. What did I say? Give me three of the top five? Oh, he's fifth. Yeah, so that's two. Hey. That's two. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got one more.
Durant.
That's correct. Durant is second. Hold on a second. The other two are.
So you named Curry. Who else scored?
LeBron, KD, the third, the fourth, and then Curry.
Third to fourth. I think over the decade.
over a decade.
Correct. So the guy had to have played in all 10 years, most likely, to get enough points in the decade out of the year.
I think so.
Harden.
True.
Yeah.
Third.
Yeah, Harden's up there. And then who else is prolific with scoring? Is it DeRozan again?
Nope.
He scored a lot of points.
Close, though. He's seventh.
Seventh. Who's fourth?
Russell Westbrook.
I keep playing Westbrook.
Who's sixth? LaMarcus Aldridge.
See, no, he played, but he's the guy's just real consistent.
Unbelievable. He's on a lot of these lists.
He's going to be probably into, well, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I never even considered that, but you look at all these lists, he's on most of them. Huh. All right, let's go. Vicente on a cell. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, amigo.
Hola, amigo Vicente. ¿Qué tal? What's up, buddy?
I was just thinking about our old friend, Eric Johnson. He sends regards.
Oh, you running to Eric Johnson?
Well, no. I was talking to him because he's now playing the 80s music.
Yes, I know. He's at another radio station, yes.
Right, yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But, he asked me about you. How is our group from The Fanatic doing?
Well, he can turn on the radio, you know, figure out how we're doing. You know, that's right. He's actually doing radio now.
Yeah.
Right? He's on air.
He's a DJ.
Yes. That was always in his heart.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to finish my work over here and teleworking and try to close the computer and try to enjoy the weekend. But I was surprised that you're talking about Wednesday trivia questions on Friday because, you know, what happened? On Wednesday, you close up early.
Yes, we do. We close up early in two straight days. That's right.
I wanted to talk about that I'm excited because the Eagles decided to resign number 75. You know, there's something in common between the defensive end 75 and myself. What is the thing common?
So you like that signing?
Yes, because he's my friend. I have his autograph. I went to meet him and talked to him for about like 15 minutes.
Well, it's because he's your friend. That doesn't mean he's going to help the squad, Vicente. You got to go beyond Vicente world here.
I can guarantee you he's a very good deep end behind Barnett and the other guys. And, you know, he's going to make the 53 roster.
He's going to make the roster, but he's a jugador promedio.
No. Muy bueno. Listen.
Yeah.
his name and my name are Beanie.
All right.
Curry! 75, Superman.
I got you. All right, listen, I'm going to give you a shot at this general knowledge here.
Okay.
First lines of songs. This should be right up your alley because you know all of these songs. Am I right?
Let's see. I hope I'm familiar with the song.
All right, let's go with this one. I'm trying to get something for you here that's you're going to actually have a fair chance of getting.
Okay.
So, let's go with, in the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
In the time of
chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
Is that a lyric of a song?
And so it's the first lyric of the song. In a time of, this is probably too hard for you. All right, how about if I give you this one here?
All right.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
That's Billy Joel, Uptown Girl.
Oh, it's not. Sorry, brother. That's Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And the other one was, anybody got it?
It was Loser, right, by Beck?
Loser by Beck. In a time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
Yeah, it was the first CD my wife ever bought.
Oh, is that right?
That's how I knew, yeah.
Oh, all right. All right, we'll take a break. Guess what's coming up? Sound off for Friday, but that doesn't mean the end of the show because we're coming back at 6 o'clock and give you 15 more minutes of brilliance and your phone calls right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.